verses will be the basis of our lesson tonight. We're going to talk about the 10 virgins, 5 were wise and 5 were foolish, the parable that Jesus gave here in these verses. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 were wise and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. The foolish said unto the wise, Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgin, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. Now, as we began to look at this parable, chapter 25 is a continuation of what the Lord started back in chapter 24. In 24, we see his disciples ask him 2 questions. In verse 2, we have the record of Jesus making this statement, and Jesus said unto them, See ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. Now Jesus here, of course, is talking about the destruction of the temple. He's talking about the destruction of Jerusalem. Now in verse 3, the record says, And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? So now they ask the question, When shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world? Now as you begin to study the 24th chapter of the book of Matthew, you will see that he first points out the destruction of Jerusalem, when these things would be, whenever the city of Jerusalem would be destroyed and the temple would be destroyed. But then, in the latter part of the 25th chapter, he begins to deal with the end of the world, and he points out that no man knows when the end of the world is going to come. Verse 36, But of that day and hour knoweth no man, No, not the angels of heaven, but the Father only. And he goes on to point out that things will continue just as they usually do, as in the days of Noah. Things were just going on the same right on up till Noah entered the ark. And so it will be when the Lord comes the second time. There'll be no signs. Nobody will know. Everything will just simply be going along as they usually do, and the Lord then will appear suddenly when nobody is expecting him. But the lesson is we must be watchful because we don't know when it's going to be. In verse 42 of the 24th chapter, he says, Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. Then in verse 44, he says, Therefore be ye also ready, For in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. Then when you get into the 25th chapter, he is still discussing the end of the world and the judgment. The emphasis in these verses is to be watchful. in verse 13 of the 25th chapter, he says, "Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh." Now, as we go back and look at the parable, he now is speaking this parable concerning the kingdom. This parable has to do with you and me. But as we begin to look at the setting of the parable, the custom of marriage, in that day and time, a bridegroom would go to the bride's house, and no doubt the ceremony would be said at the bride's house, and there would be some celebration at the bride's house, and the marriages among the Jews took place in the night. And then, after the celebration at the bride's house, then the groom would bring his bride to his own house or to his father's house. And the procession would split up. Part of them would go with the groom to the bride's house and come with him from the bride's house back to his house. But part of his friends would go to his house. And they would wait until he came, or they would wait outside his house until he came, and then they would join the procession. And so we can see this is what is occurring here. These 10 virgins now are waiting for the bridegroom to come to his own house. And so we see that as they would join the procession in the night, they would have their lamp. And they, of course, would carry extra oil with them that they might keep their lamps burning as they joined the procession. And so we see now that they didn't know, and they never knew when, of course, the bridegroom would come. And so that is the setting of this parable. Now, these 10 virgins represent members of the church. 5 are wise and 5 are foolish. Now, let's look at it. He says, "Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins." As I've already stated, the kingdom and the church, they're one and the same. We can see this from going to Matthew the 16th chapter and reading verses 18 and 19, when the Lord said, "And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it, and I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." So we can see then that the church is what is under consideration. The bridegroom, of course, is Jesus Christ, and the coming of the bridegroom represents when the Lord shall come the second time. He has gone back to heaven. He's going to come the second time. He's coming to receive his kingdom. He's coming to receive the church and present it, of course, to God. And he will turn back the rule of the kingdom to God when he comes the second time. And the righteous, of course, will be gathered into heaven. Now, the 10 virgins represent people who have obeyed the gospel. The 5 foolish virgins, they are not people who have not been converted. But they are members of the church who sometime in their life have obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. All of these virgins have obeyed the gospel, are members of the church. Now, the waiting, they simply represents the church waiting for the second coming. And that's exactly who we are. What are we doing? We're waiting for the second coming. We had the Lord's Supper here today, tonight, and we had it this morning. And we simply showed to the world that we're looking for him, that he hasn't come. So we are the church in waiting. That's what we're waiting for. That's what we're looking forward to, the time when the Lord will come the second time. Now, the oil in this parable represents preparation that's made on the part of Christians for the second coming. You can see that five of these virgins took oil. They made preparation. Five of these virgins did not take oil. They made no preparation. Now, every day, you and I, we are to watch and we are to make preparation. Every day, we are to work out our salvation. Paul said in Philippians 2 and verse 12, "Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." Every day of our lives, every one of us must work out our own salvation. We must be busy. We must be watchful. We must not become weary in well-doing, because we don't know when the Savior will come. As the apostle would tell us in 1 Corinthians 15 and 58, he has just been discussing the resurrection, and in view of the fact that the Lord is going to come the second time, he said in verse 58, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." So we know then that our labor is not in vain. We must not become weary in well-doing. We must continue to make preparation as long as we are here upon the earth. We must be faithful. Now, Christ the bridegroom, he has gone back to heaven to prepare a place for us. As we would go back to John, or go to John, the 14th chapter, and reading the first three verses. The record says, the Lord now speaking, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." The Lord has gone back to make reservations for every one of us. And he now is at the right hand of God. He is our high priest. He went back with his atoning blood and atoned for your sins and my sins. He died yonder on Calvary. And just as the old high priest under the law had to carry the blood of bulls and goats once a year in the presence of God in the most holy place, Jesus himself entered into heaven with his own blood, as the Hebrew writer would tell us in the 9th chapter of the book of Hebrews, and made the atonement. Now he is there as our advocate. He is our propitiation. Whenever you and I sin and come short of the glory of God, the blood of Christ is readily available for us. He's there what? Making preparation for you and me if we will be faithful to enter into heaven someday. And so he is there making the reservations, making the preparation. And he will come back just as he went. Let's look at the first chapter of the book of Acts. In Acts 1 and verse 11, the record says, "Which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." So we see then that he is coming, but his coming is uncertain. That's what the parable is bearing out. Peter tells us that he will come as a thief in the night when nobody is expecting him. In 2 Peter 3 and in verse 10, the apostle says, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up." So a thief comes when nobody is expecting him. And so the point is, the Lord's coming is certain, but it will be when nobody is expecting him. But the Christian must expect that he might come anytime. And that's what he's telling us. We must watch every day, every hour. We must be vigilant. Now as you begin to look at the virgins are members of the church. And all members have accepted the invitation of the Lord. All have been invited to the wedding. All have accepted the invitation. But the difference in these virgins is in the preparation that's made. Look there in verses 3 and 4. The record says, "They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them." Now this represents members of the church, folks who obey the gospel, but cease to make preparation. They become indifferent along the way. But the other virgins, the wise virgins, verse 4, "But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps." These are members of the church that make the proper preparation. Now the foolish virgins were not unconverted. They had been converted sometime in their lives. The foolish virgins were callous and indifferent, and they had made little or no preparation to meet the Lord. And as we begin to look at these foolish virgins, they had made some preparation, you can see, but they had not made enough. It's like many members of the church. Today, many members of the church neglect their duty. They neglect to attend the services. You look around. We don't have the attendance tonight that we had this morning. Why? Because in the Hebron Lane Church, we have some members who neglect duty. Now that's just the truth. That has to be faced. And that's what the Lord is warning us about. How would you like to be at home tonight watching television while the saints are here and the Lord comes? Now you think about it. How would you like to be anywhere tonight and the saints have met and you're not with them? What kind of member stays away from the services? It is a foolish virgin, a neglectful member. And that's what the Lord is talking about. Members neglect worship, they neglect prayer, they neglect to study their Bibles, they neglect to give, they neglect to visit the sick, to teach the lost, and they know to do better, but they don't do it. And James talks about that in the 4th chapter of the book of James, in verse 17. He says, "Therefore to him that knoweth to do good, and doeth it not, to him it is sin." Now, this is what the Lord is talking about. He's talking about neglectful members of the church. Well, you can talk to these neglectful members, and they'll say, I'm going to do better someday. Right now, I'm caught up in some things, and I just can't attend all the services. And I know I ought to study my Bible more. And I know that I ought to try to get more people to attend the services, and I ought to try to teach maybe some of my own family the gospel. But, you know, right now I feel I don't know enough, and we offer all of these excuses why we don't do our duty. And this is what the Lord is talking about. He's talking about members who are neglectful. Not only do many members neglect their duty from this aspect, but many members become worldly. Worldly. While the Lord tarries, you see. The Lord, he's tarrying. Where is he? He's in heaven. He's tarrying. He's been tarrying how long? 2,000 years. We become a member of the church. Oh, we're zealous, zealous for a few weeks, a few months, maybe a few years. But in that period of time, the Lord what? The Lord tarries. He doesn't come immediately after we become Christians. And then we begin to put the Lord where? On the back burner, you see. We don't make the preparation that we once made for the Lord's coming. This is what the Lord's talking about. And the Lord is going to come. That's certain. And what the Lord is telling us is, that many of these members of the church who put him on the back burner, when he comes, they're going to find themselves all excited when he comes, but they're going to look at themselves and they're going to find what? I'm unprepared. I'm unprepared. And as you look at the parable, what do? In this frenzy, they begin to try to make preparation. They began to ask their brethren, give us some of your oil. But they had none to give. You know, I can't prepare for you and you can't prepare for me. And they told them to go and buy from those that sold. And it was a late hour. It was too late. And they were shut out. What's the Lord telling them? Through neglect, many of us who are Christians, if we're not careful, will be shut out. We'll lose our souls. Let's look now. The coming of the bridegroom. It was at midnight. It was at this unexpected hour. It was as the thief, as he points out in other places, like 2 Thessalonians 5 and 2, and I've already read 2 Peter 2:10, he comes at the unexpected hour, he comes at midnight, and you see the virgins, they rose, they trimmed their lamps, but it was an hour that was too late for further preparation. The foolish virgins, they cried for help, but the other virgins could not help them. I must prepare, and I must stand on my own, and you must stand on your own. Paul talks about this back in Galatians 6, beginning with about verse 3, when he says, for if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. In
This is what Paul's talking about here in Galatians 6. In these passages, he's talking about there's certain preparation I must personally make. He says back earlier, I can help you bear some of your burdens. You can help me. But then ultimately there is some work and preparation that I must do myself, and I cannot give you my preparation. You know, a husband can't go to heaven on the preparation of his wife. Children can't go to heaven on the preparation of their parents. And so we see that these virgins, these foolish virgins, they went now to buy oil. It was too late to make any preparation. But when they went and they came back, the record says, and he answered and said, and he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. Who's he talking to? He's talking to members of the church who didn't make preparation. The Lord came and caught them unprepared. And what did he say to them? I know you not. You think about how sad those words will be, and how sad they will be to us if we are among those that the Lord says, I know you not. Why did he say this? Because these members of the church did not make preparation. They became neglectful in duty. Now this parable points out that one can fall from grace and be lost. As we would go back to 2 Peter, the second chapter. Peter talks about this. He says in 2 Peter, the second chapter, in verse 20, for if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. It had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it has happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. Now, the Lord is telling us we must be watchful. We must be watchful every day and every hour. We do not have the luxury of stepping out into sin for 1 minute, 1 second, 1 day, 1 month, 3 months. Brother Dave and I, this past week, visited a young man in one of the hospitals in this area, a member of the church. We had contacts from another part of the state to visit this young man. Fine young man, had a family at home, a wife and a child. You know what this young man had been doing? With the church faithfully, we've been dabbling in sin, gross sin, making obscene phone calls. And I'll tell you, this day and time, with the technology that the phone companies have. You don't get by with that kind of thing anymore. They catch you red-handed. Now, why do I bring that up? I bring that up to show you that there are members of the church, many times unsuspected, fine-looking folks, intelligent, holding good jobs, having good families, think they can what? Dabble around in sin out here and nobody will ever know until they get exposed. But the point I'm making, what if the Lord comes in that period of time? This is what the Lord's talking about. He's talking about people who become indifferent, people indifferent to their duty, people who think they can dabble around here in worldliness. And you know, the fella always thinks, I'll dabble there and then I'll quit and then maybe things will be all right. The Lord is dealing with many members of the church will be shut out. They will be shut out because they have not made preparation to meet the Lord. And it should warn all of us. We don't have the luxury to live in sin, any kind of sin. We don't have the luxury of neglecting our duty, because we don't know when the Lord is going to come. And then he says, as he ends the parable, he says, be watchful. In the 13th verse, watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. What should I watch? I must watch my time. And it's so easy for me and for you, and I put me first, and for you to take time for ourselves and not leave enough time for the Lord. The Lord is to have part of my time. I am to redeem the time, buy up the time. Paul talks about that and warns in the Ephesian letter, in the 5th chapter of the Ephesian letter, verses 15 and 16, he says, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. I must use my time well every day. Not only must I use my time, but I must watch my opportunities. Paul, as he wrote to the Galatians, said in Galatians 6 and in verse 10, as ye therefore have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. I am to take advantage of my opportunities. Sometimes we don't use our opportunities well. Sometimes we look back and we see that we had opportunity many times to speak a word of encouragement, to speak a word of warning, to speak a word to encourage, to speak a word to teach one the truth that he might know what to do to be saved. I must watch. Watch my time, my opportunities. I must watch My worship. You must watch your worship. We must not forsake the assemblies of the saints. We must watch ourselves when we are in worship, that we truly worship God in spirit and in truth. John 4:24. We must watch that we worship privately, as the Bible teaches, in our study and in our prayers. And we must watch our hearts, because out of the heart are the very issues of life. The writer of Proverbs said in Proverbs 4 and in verse 23, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." Go back to this young man, as Brother Dave and I talked to him about his soul and his soul's condition and what was right and what was wrong. He said, well, since he had been there, he had had time to think. And that had helped him a lot. He said, just the world so caught up, he hadn't taken time to think. Well, I presume if he had that problem, a lot of other people has that problem. We need to have time to think. Out of the heart are the bare issues of life. We need to give a lot of meditation to what we're doing, what life's all about. I then must watch my heart. I must watch what I think about. And Paul, of course, if you go back to Philippians 4 and verse 8, he tells us what we need to think about. We'll not look back at that, but you might privately look at it. And then we must watch our actions. Jesus said in Matthew 5:13-16, that we are light and we're salt. Or salt and light. I believe he deals with the salt first. We're the salt of the earth and we are the light of the world. What's he talking about? He's talking about our influence. People are watching us. We are having an influence, whether we recognize it or not. And so the Lord is telling us, we must constantly prepare, and we must constantly watch. That's what he's trying to get us to see in this parable. Are we watching? Are we ready? Are we like the Apostle Paul? When death came to Paul, or it was at his door, he could say to the young preacher Timothy, in 2 Timothy 4, beginning with verse 6, "For I am now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing." Are you ready? Are you watching? If you're here tonight and you're out of Christ, you're not ready. You're not in the kingdom. And there are those here who are not in the kingdom. They need to make preparation, or you need to make preparation this hour. You need to believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Repent of your sins. Confess your Lord before this audience. And we'll bear you with your Lord in baptism for the remission of your sins. If you're here and you have been a neglectful member, you have been among the foolish virgins, and you need to make public correction, the invitation is to you as we stand and as we sing.